This is the Cube Show on Demand. Listen live weekdays 6 to 10. Get loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's the Cube Show.
This is All Born Radio. Yeah.
I'm a good person.
Man, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God want us to win the World Championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I!
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yump. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Excited to talk with Grant Lynch now, chairman of Talladega Super Speedway. Coming up next weekend, the Monster Energy Cup Series going to be taking its way over to Talladega. Grant, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Cole. I'm doing good as I guess somebody that runs Talladega can be doing after we heard our news from Junior yesterday. So. But I tell you, Mr. France told me a long time ago, he was talking about the weather, but it's pretty good in life. If you can't change something, just get on trying to press on and do what you got to do.
He has been not only a successful driver on the track for you, but a guy who's brought a lot of eyeballs, put a lot of butts in the seats for you. What has Dale Jr. in your mind meant to Talladega?
Well, I think it's when we lost Senior, tragically at Daytona that time, and then you had Junior at a fairly young age have to take over the mantle of the Earnhardt name in the sport, and I think he has without a doubt done an unbelievable job of carrying that mantle going forward. And I think you just have to look at his life and what he's gone through in the last year, certainly with the concussion syndromes that he was fighting off, getting married and everything else, and how he wants to have his future going forward. And we're sad to see him go, but I also think the sports is strong right now as far as the teams financially being strong, and then the young talent of drivers that's moving up through the series is probably the best it's ever been. So I think there's talent out there, and, you know, I was thinking this morning, college football changes their stars about every 3 years. Yeah, and you know, we're lucky to keep ours longer than that, but at the same time, they change and life goes on.
Grant, can you think of any recent racers, especially and recent drivers, especially that have sort of captured an audience quite like what Dale Jr. did, especially when you come to like some of these super speedways like Talladega?
No, I mean, I think his dad did, and certainly the DEI cars at one time were really strong at the plate tracks and everything. But I think there's a lot of folks that do better at Talladega because they try to stay in the front. And Junior had a notion for always trying to stay up front. And I think that's the safest place to be, quite frankly. if you're leading, they got to hit you in the rear end to mess you up. And if you're in the back of that pack, you can get hit from all four sides most of the time. So it's just nice to be out front. And he had an aggressive attitude. And I think that's what the fans identified with him. They knew when he came here, he was going to race hard and try to stay up front.
Grant Lynch joining us, talking Talladega. It's an exciting weekend for you guys next weekend. Obviously surrounded by Cinco de Mayo, not only the two races, the Sparks Energy 300 NASCAR Xfinity Series 113-lap race on May the 6th, That consists of two 25-lap stages before a final stage of 63 laps. And then, of course, Sunday's the Geico 500, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. You guys are going to have an eating contest. You got pin the tail on the donkey. You got a hat dance. And you got stuff the taco relay. There's a lot going on for you guys next weekend at Talladega outside of those two races.
Yeah, we have three races. Actually, we got an ARCA race on Friday before we do the big one on the Boulevard, which is our giant infield party for our infield guests and everything. That gets the week off and all those contests you talk about. I mean, when we put the drivers on that float and take them up Talladega Boulevard and park them over at the Miller Activity Pavilion over there and they start those contests, I tell everybody, we lose control of it almost immediately. And it just really never matters because it just goes forward and everybody just has a ball when we do that. And that's a great way to get the weekend started. Right after a race, you get that. And then, like you said, the two big races, Saturday and Sunday. And, of course, Saturday night, Charlie Daniels' band is playing in our infield. All you need to see Charlie is your Sunday race ticket. So and we have unlimited free camping at Talladega. And so I think about the junior fans and everything, and don't get despondent that he's leaving. Come down here and see him two more times because he's got a better chance to win here than he does anywhere he's going to go this year. So just come on down. Let's make his send off great by having his fans here watching him his last two times at Talladega.
Visiting with Grant Lynch, chairman of Talladega Super Speedway. How excited are you and your folks at Talladega about the stage races that are going to be coming to your track?
Huge, Cole. I mean, it's when they first said they were thinking about this, and I begged them to do it about 3.5-4 years ago. If you want to change the behavior of somebody, you can't keep giving them everything they want on the last lap of a race. And in places like ours where it's big and you can hide for most of the race, it was apparent that that's what a lot of drivers were doing, and that certainly was taken away from the competition element. If you're watching what's happened since they put in the stages, you're seeing great competition in the first half of the races now. We should benefit from that this week, next week. And I think we'll benefit from more than a lot of tracks will because they've got things they're going to get in the first half of the race that help them get into the chase with extra points for that and help them stay in the chase because the bonus points for winning either segment or the end of the race, there's five on the end of the race and 1 point each in each segment. Those points go with the driver all the way to Homestead. So they were very, very valuable in two different ways, and I think that was brilliant to not only put one set of points out there, but put a second set of points that makes those segments even more valuable.
Grant Lynch joining us, chairman of Talladega Super Speedway, and I can imagine that the end of your race is still going to be exciting and bring a lot of drama, but I feel like that might have been at times the only real drama that people wanted to see, or there was so much buildup, and maybe that now you're going to have that times three or four. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I think as you know, I've been here coming up on 24 years. I'm 25 next year. That many years here, and I don't know how many different variations of cars we've had during that time frame, probably approaching 10, and at various times. When they get ready to do what they can do at Talladega, and we're no driver's favorite racetrack, I know that, because the tension's just too big. But when they do what they can do here, it's breathtaking, and it cannot be duplicated at any other racetrack.
Well, Mr. Lynch, have you tried to duplicate on the racetrack on the normal interstate? How fast have you ever gone? Have you ever been ticketed for over 100?
No, I've been ticketed for over 100. I've been ticketed for more than 15 miles an hour over, but just barely. When I had Harleys, I was a 60-mile-an-hour guy. I wasn't an 85-mile-an-hour guy.
Oh, you wouldn't do 85 on a Harley? That's what it's built for.
I know, but that just wasn't me. I kept thinking about a dog running in front of me.
Grant, we really appreciate the time today. Best of luck next weekend. Look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thank you, folks. Call 877-GO-2-DIGGA, D-E-G-A, and we'll get your ticket orders. Come see Dale Jr.'s last two rides. We'd love to have you.
Awesome stuff, Grant. Thank you. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Grant Lynch, chairman of Talladega. Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series heads over to Talladega next weekend. So.
It's going
to
be – I can't call it Dega. I can't call it Dega. It's Dega. It's kind of like biopic. It's just going to be so hard for me to move my pronunciation from Dega to Dega, even though the chairman of the racetrack himself is saying Dega. When I think of Dega, I think, can you Dega it, sucka, Booker T's theme song.
Okay.
That's
right.
What I think of. I don't think of the racetrack. I think of Talladega. It's just too hard to look. I'm an old man by this point. I'm 31. I'm setting my Dega ways.
I'm a little bit confused here.
Totally Dega.
Here we go.
Talladega.
Oh, that's not even way. That's not even either one of us.
Hold on.
I get the pronunciations of the racetrack.
Talladega.
Oh, that just
was awful.
What was that?
Talladega.
No.
Talladega.
That's not even what any of us are saying.
Yeah, that's
Talladega? No.
According to howtopronounce.com.
How about howtopronounce.com can GFY? That's
wow.
What we can do. .net.
Okay, let's get to 10 after tweets.
Bring me the tweets!
I can't do Dega. First of all, it sounds like I'm about to yell out a racist slur. Which is not good, by the way.
B-Ran tweets in that Cube Show, hashtag called it.
You did call it, my Dega. I had to be so slow with that one.
B-Ran tweeted, ask her if she thinks this will help ticket sales the rest of the year since they have been horrible so far.
Yes, it will help a little. Especially at... especially at Dega. I think you only got two more chances max to see this guy. And if he announces
crazy.
He's done after this year, what's to say he won't be done in, let's say, August? September?
Yeah.
The race is back, what, in October? So. Is it weird to you that they race from February to November?
Yes. Not only are the races too long, but the season's too long.
That's a long time.
And Shannon had a great response, but, I mean, I think if you did kind of a semifinal two races, you can't have eight winners, so it would be, I realize you have two winners of a race, that's dumb, at Bristol, but if you split it up and split the race in half, it would be a little more exciting, don't you think?
We said this going into Daytona. Have you watched more NASCAR because of it?
No.
Not because of it. I've tuned in for a few races just because it was on, but not because of the stages. I'm interested from people like B-Ran who actually watch the races if the stages have made it more interesting for him. Or if it just sort of breaks up the race and it's kind of like, why are we doing this? Why are we breaking it into thirds? This tweet does not come from Dega. Ooh, that's tough. Okay, this tweet comes from Pro Football Talk. Tweets, Gary and Conley accused of sexual assault in Cleveland. Now, we alluded to this way early in the show, but he is a highly, highly, highly thought of defensive back that is in the NFL draft this year. But according to TMZ, he is now facing sexual assault charges in Cleveland. Per TMZ, a police report explains that a 23-year-old woman said that he raped her in the bathroom of a suite at a hotel in Cleveland. Explains that the report that the alleged victim claims she met him in an elevator and then he asked her to have a something you do in golf, a foursome. I don't know what that means. I think that means just, can we go out on the links? The alleged victim claimed she declined to participate, but agreed to watch as others did. That's nice of her.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going in the elevator? Would you like to have a foursome? No, but I'll watch. Thank you, ma'am. In the initial report regarding the incident, which did not name Conley, a lawyer called the accusation ludicrous and ridiculous and argued that this, quote, young lady is an opportunist and is actually despicable. We've had a couple of stories like this now, right before the draft. And we had a couple of stories kind of like this right before and early into the draft that are really threatening to mess up some people's draft stock. And we know how the NFL now feels about sexual and domestic violence issues. I've seen this guy's name from anywhere from like 5 or 6 down to like 13, 15. Does this drop Conley out of the first round or not drafted at all?
Yeah. Because of the unknown. It's Lyle Collins' situation
again. You almost have
again.
No time to investigate it.
Right.
If you're NFL teams.
Can't take that chance. Ed Werder, at Ed Werder ESPN, tweets, after 17 years reporting on hashtag NFL, I've been informed that I'm being laid off by ESPN effective immediately. I have no plans to retire.
Bunch of layoffs about to happen at ESPN. Luckily, Cole's not affected because Cole's not an ESPN employee. He's a Cumulus Media employee.
Ah.
Who is an independent contractor for SEC Network /ESPN. Beering tweets, not for me, but the average fans are loving the stage racing. Yeah. I can see... Cole, when you think of NASCAR race, just thinking of a race, just a general race, not the big ones that we like, not the Degas, not the Daytonas, but just a normal race, like a Fontana or a Homestead, a Martinsville. I'm just gonna prove I know races. Pocono. What's your biggest issue with NASCAR? Like, as far as just watching it, trying to watch it. This is what I'm trying to figure out, if NASCAR is really addressing some people's main issue. Is your biggest issue that it's too long? Like, it's just continuous, just circles? Is your biggest issue there's not enough strategy?
I think that there is a... It lacks a... This is going to sound a little bit different, but hear me out. It's going to sound weird. It lacks change in pace. Now, I get it. The miles per hour stay the same a lot of times, and it's not that bothers me, but lead changes. Things that change and affect a race don't happen often enough to really pull me in. Can I watch segments of it? Yes. And that's one thing that these segment races are attempting to do now. It's just not something that was ever a big part of my life. Mm-hmm. My mom, my dad, I didn't really have any relatives. I have like one uncle that watches NASCAR. And he's not even that into it. He lives in Columbia and he's been to some Charlotte races and that's about it. I've got an aunt that has twin boys, Hall of Fame aunt. She's taken them to Darlington a few times, but that's just for teenage boys to see cars go fast. They're not into it now. So it hasn't really been a way of life for me very long. Whereas football, baseball, tennis, basketball, golf have. I mean, my uncle played golf in college. My grandfather played golf every day of his life, you know, the last 25 years of his life.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's side of the family, they scheduled trips or golf outings, vacations around playing golf.
Mm-hmm.
Harbortown, Panama City. So... that was a part of my life, whether I wanted it to be or not. I had to sit and watch with my grandparents when I'd go stay with them in the summer, Lee Trevino and Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer. And loved how much my grandfather hated Tiger Woods. And the reason he did is because he didn't feel like he should be compared to Jack Nicklaus, who he thought was the greatest golfer ever.
Right.
So that was a part of my life. NASCAR's never been a big part of my life. So that genetic draw, that inherent draw to the sport is not there. So there has to be something about it to pull me in that's exciting. And I just feel that it lacks that because it stays stale a lot of times. It's very similar to if NASCAR can become what fast pitch softball has become to baseball, if they can counter it in that way, whereas now fast pitch softball is boom, 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 boom. Rapid fire, rapid change. Things happen quickly.
Mm-hmm.
NASCAR doesn't offer me that.
Right.
There's a lot of times when I just get the same thing for 10, 15 minutes of a race. And I've told you before, I struggle to watch football and not look at my phone and not look away and focus on other things now.
NASCAR, forget it.
No, there's no shot.
No shot. You may look off your phone to see NASCAR even though it's on the TV. You know, my stepfather was the first one in my life that really liked NASCAR, and he was a huge NASCAR fan. He's got all the, like, the little cars, you know, not in the packages. He's got them out and displayed. And
does he change the leader?
No. He should, though. It'd be more interesting to go over there and be like, hey, who's leading this week? Oh, look at that. He was a huge Dale Jarrett fan. And I tried to get into it then, but with you, like, I'm with you. I didn't grow up into it. I didn't grow up interested. And I didn't get this stepdad till I was like 16 or 17, so it's a whole different thing. But I didn't grow up getting into it, so I need something to be a little different for me to get into NASCAR. You know, one of the things I always thought, why do all the races have to be 400 or 500 miles? You know, I know they have the endurance race, which, like, they do the Charlotte one in the summer, where it's 600 miles. But why can't races be, like, 200 miles, you know, and be, like, you know, 100 laps, 110 laps or something, much shorter? That way, and you have a couple of super races. Like, you have a Talladega that's the super
500 miles.
Yeah, that, like, you have these. Like, Bristol shouldn't be, like, what was it, like, 280, 300 laps? I don't know. For me, at least for me, if you made it shorter, I feel like it would be more interesting for me. Now, would that constitute enough for ticket prices to pay and get all the people there? Maybe, maybe not. But if you made it sort of an event where Talladega was, or Bristol, even keep Bristol to be that, or if, you know, Daytona, obviously, if there's a few tracks that were supposed to be endurance races that you're actually seeing, it'll feel a little more like the 24-hour race, like Le Mans or something like that.
I need hazards.
Mm.
I need ramps.
Potholes.
I need water. Sand. Oil slicks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever played the video game Spy Hunter? It's a little before your time.
I know of the game. I've never played it.
The car, and you moved it into the 18-wheeler.
Right.
Which would be great if the car's command centers, like that they pull the car around in, if they could get on the track and the car could pull in there for a pit stop, then you're not losing ground. I mean, which, you are, but you're still going around.
What you need is a NASCAR skills challenge, and not the pit crew skills challenge, the car driver everything skills challenge.
I think there should be a button where you can squirt an oil slick behind you. You can smoke screen.
So you want this to be Mario Kart?
Behind you. No, this is Spy Hunter, the game. The James Bond out of the hubcap twirling wheel that flattened your tire.
Yeah, need a little some of that.
Billy Staggs tweets, can't speak from at B-Ram, but I hate the stages, hashtag pointless. Now, B-Ram says, Cole should go to Huntsville Speedway, get in a race car to make 25 laps, it'll change your outlook. Listen, I'm not hating on this at all. If I have nothing going on, and I'm sitting around on a Sunday, I have no problem watching some of these races. Now, some of them I just can't get into. But like Darlington, Bristol, I can't get into it. Darlington, I like to watch. Dega, Daytona,
Why do you like Darlington?
Because I think it's a smaller track, but it's still a fast track to me. I don't know, it feels like old school NASCAR. I don't know. It feels Winston Cup-ish.
I just think there's not enough. Like you talked about before, levels. Like they teach you in theater.
Yeah.
In theater,
that would
levels.
Be levels. Sure. You had like if you went up a level on one and somebody stayed down and you could jump down over them, I'm in. There's levels to this, son.
In theater, they tell you levels. You want to, there's got to be different ways to, different voices, different heights, different things to see.
Yeah, there's nothing different.
To keep you interested.
There's nothing different.
If it's just 200 laps or in like
somebody needs
188
left side,
laps of just.
Somebody needs left side tires. That's not a change in level for me.
Your changing level needs to be oil slick. But realistically, though.
I've been to that boat race at Huntsville Speedway where they have to pull boats around. I'm in on that. That's some fun.
There's only so far NASCAR can go, and I think this is one of the big steps to try to get it, but still, it's not really changing. Because you still have 60 laps, depending on whatever racetrack it is. You still have somewhere between 60, 70, 50 laps of just the same thing.
Yeah.
The same thing as you had before. It's just stopping it for a few minutes, starting it again, stopping it for a few minutes.
All right, we got.
I need people wrecking people, and I don't mean like wrecking. I mean just. I need more aggressive drive. Like
you need more rubbing.
Rubbing's racing, man.
That's
I just caught a couple fishtails. I know it's dangerous, but you know, you guys are.
Well, slow them down then, and let them rub more.
More restrictor plates. A lot more.
Put a parachute on that thing and let them rub.
Yeah. Well, they got the new thing with the, if the thing goes backwards, if the car goes backwards, the flap comes up.
I don't think that's new anymore.
When did that happen?
Like late 90s, I think.
No.
Yeah.
No, that the
yeah.
flap?
The flap that
no.
pops up? That's been
that's
around
well
for a while.
After Dale. Dale Sr. died.
Though. B-Ramble, though.
Yeah, no, that's somewhat. That's like in the last 15 years.
All right, we got to get to a break. Back with more Cube Show next. Welcome back to the Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yump. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Always good to have you on board. And before we move forward, I want to tell you about our friends at Valley Equipment Rental. Stop by 3551 South Memorial Parkway, and you'll be able to hear and talk to Ross and Tanner and the guys at Valley Equipment Rental about any heavy equipment that you need. Maybe not even heavy equipment. Tillers, pressure washers. They've got four different size pressure washers, cultivating, front-tine, mid-tine, tillers. Also stump grinders, three different size stump grinders, two different sizes. And the best thing is, some of these products are confusing, but you know you're going to need them. The service is second to none. Ross and Tanner are going to get you with the product that you need at the price that you want. And over the weekend, you pay for one day, pick it up Friday after 3 p.m. It's not due back until 8 a.m. Monday morning. Pay for one day, you get it Friday afternoon to Monday morning. It's tough to beat. You're not going to beat it. Valley Equipment Rental, valleyequipmentrents.com, valleyequipmentrents.com. If you need a scissor lift, you need a pressure washer, you need a jackhammer, flooring, construction, contractor equipment, Valley Equipment Rental's the way to go. Go to valleyequipmentrents.com, check out their inventory. Over $1 million purchased this year in brand new equipment just for you. 256-964-6081, 964-6081.
I wanted to ask you a question about Laura Rutledge and something she reported over the weekend and how it pertains to you. Laura Rutledge reported over the weekend, she said that, I hope you're not worried about Alabama needing motivation after last year. Jalen Hurts has a picture of Clemson holding the national championship as his phone screensaver. So that's kind of, you know, a little bit of there. How did you guys do the motivating thing? Did you guys have a clock counting down to the Iron Bowl? Did you guys have, like, quotes of national media members saying things about your team? Like, what went on to get you through an off season to make sure workouts weren't nearly as bad but get you ready for the season? Did you guys do any of that, or was it all based on personal motivation, wanting to get better?
I think it's all individual-based, really.
Because I feel like a lot of this is just really new, because I don't know if younger and younger kids just seem like they don't get excited about football anymore, because I think they still do.
I'll give you a perfect example. So I can recall we were sitting in my apartment, and we were watching the SEC championship game. And it was probably, I don't know, 9-10 of us. Hart McGarry was there, Mike Pacilla was there, Ben Leard, Ryan Hooker, Alex Lincoln, a couple other guys were there. And we're watching the SEC championship game. Now, obviously, we were still active football players at Auburn, and we're watching the SEC title game. That's never a fun place that you want to be. And Alabama beat Florida in 1999, watching that title game. Freddie Millions went off. And I can... Well, I recall it now, but this is where the story sort of gets interesting. I stood up in front of everybody and I said, turn the TV off. I said, whatever it takes, we got to do to get to that game next year. We got to figure it out. And it starts right now. And we went across the room, and I looked at Ben first and I said, what do you think it's going to take for us to get there? We got to do this, this, this. And then on to the next person, the next person, the next person. And I'll never forget, we were walking off the field in Tuscaloosa in 2000, 9-0. Gorgeous day for football.
Mm-hmm. Except for the weather was really bad.
First time in over 100 years in Bryant Denny Stadium.
It was really rainy and cold.
And we get in the locker room, and everyone's happy, and we're excited. And Hart McGarry, I go do some interviews, and I come out of the media room. And Hart McGarry comes over, and he sits down to me next to my locker. And it's one of those deals where you're a senior, so you want to take everything in. And I think we went back on the field for a while. And, I mean, it was this way after the championship game, after the Citrus Bowl, after that game. And I'm kind of just sitting there. I didn't even start taking my gear off. And there actually, someone tweeted me a video, a YouTube video of the 2000 Iron Bowl not long ago. I'll go find it and show it to you. And he asked me via Twitter, he's like, why do you still have your helmet on singing the fight song in the locker room after the game? And my response was, I didn't want to take it off. Because I knew I only had a handful of those left. I literally did not want to take it off. It's the same thing after the Citrus Bowl. I've got a picture of me somewhere walking off the field 30, 45 minutes after the game with my helmet on. I didn't want to take it off. And Tuberville's addressing the team after the game, and I've got my helmet on. Did not want to take it off. And Harv McGary comes over, and he sits next to me in the locker, and he said, you did this. You called it. I said, what are you talking about? He said, almost a year ago, we're going to Atlanta. We sat there in your apartment, and you said, we're going to do whatever it takes to get here. We got to figure out a way to get here. I had no recollection of saying that at that point in time. None. So I didn't carry that with me every day as far as, okay, I stood up and said this, now we have to go do this. But I went out of my way to do what I needed to do for us to get there. And if that meant help Hark get better at guard next to me, or call defense the right way, or know what my assignments were going to be, or do more in the weight room, or run more, or do more, have, go out and take more snaps with Ben in the offseason, I went out and did that.
Mm-hmm.
But it still comes down to motivation. And I always tell you, you hear me say this so many times about bulletin board material. All the time. If you need that garbage to motivate you to go play football in a different way than you normally would, you probably shouldn't be playing this game. You shouldn't. There's no newspaper article. There's no quote. There's no photograph. There's no tweet that should make you play a different way than you would play any other day, any other year, against any other opponent. There's not. That's not reality when you think about it. Now, can a moment cause you to act differently? I mean, look at Cam Robinson against LSU last year. That guy played a different football game than he did any other game of the year. I think he would admit that to your face right now if you asked him. The film sure as hell doesn't lie and shows you his attitude, his demeanor, his fight, his intensity was different than it was any other game. Did I probably play different against Alabama in 2000 than I did, I don't know, Central Florida early that year? La Tech? Yeah, probably. And not intentionally. It's human nature. But there was also no one who put a newspaper article by Kevin Skarbinski up on the board and I said, by God, here it comes. Now I'm going to play my best. That is just so not a real thing. But if Jalen Hurts looks at that picture for him individually, and maybe that makes him watch 10 more minutes of film every day. Maybe that makes him go do a few more reps in the weight room every day. Maybe that makes him take another teammate to watch film with him every day that normally wouldn't be there. Then, that's working, and that's fine.
And I think that's probably where the biggest motivation has to come from for something like this, right? It's got to be the stuff in between, you know, January and August.
That's when you win games.
Because that's the time where it's the hardest to wake up in the morning knowing that your next game is 8 months away. Yep. The next time you're going to get competitive football against somebody, you're going to be beating up on yourself and on your teammates for the next 7-8 months. You're going to just be doing weight rooms and doing stadium steps, and you're going to do everything that just sucks. So what gets you to get through that without maybe cutting corners?
Yeah, and
as far as being like, you know what Skip Bayless said about Alabama this year?
We're gonna roll them. No, you're gonna roll them because you're good and you're better than they are and you're better prepared.
You also don't need that quote in front of you for motivation.
No,
you not when it's game week. Maybe it's off season and Colin Cowherd says Alabama's the fifth best team in the SEC. And you're like, what? All right, we'll show them.
Yeah. And maybe that causes a few guys who were just walking around thinking they're the best team in the SEC to say, man, maybe we're not putting in enough work. Maybe we need to put some more work in.
Cole Kubelik doesn't like our phrases here at Tennessee. We'll show him. It'll take us two or three more years.
That's on everybody's boards. So, all right, when we come back, TV listings and another one next. Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730-1039, The Yump. Every morning we like to bring you TV listings to let you know what's happening on TV tonight.
You know what returns tonight, Cole?
I always feel
TV
like
listings?
Hockey's back tonight, Cole.
Wow. In that case, I gotta go. You going to be watching tonight? Well, we'll get to that in Game of the Night. Survivor Game Changers tonight, 7 p.m.
Nope.
Blind Spot on NBC tonight, 7 p.m.
Not watching that
either.
Shots
Fired on Fox tonight, 7 p.m.
Not watching that either.
Empire on Fox tonight at 8 p.m.
Not watching that either.
A lot of people seem to be into that.
Do they? Well, they can live free or die hard.
Lethal Weapon tonight, AMC, 7 p.m.
That's not one of my TVs.
Cinemax tonight, 7 p.m. Purge, election year.
What? You pointed at me like that was my go-to movie.
You should watch it. That's actually not very good. I wouldn't suggest it. I did watch it. It's not very good. Arky for you, Discovery Channel tonight, 7 p.m. The Last Alaskans.
Yeah.
Alaskans.
Getting jiggy with it.
Going to Blockbuster.
The last one. I told my family about that. We talked about that, and they're like, oh, yeah. So? I'm like, it's the only one. Like, you don't see how this is crazy?
That's like that should be a museum. You can't find that.
You know what my mother-in-law said? She said, well, we don't have anything else around there. It's like, okay, fair enough at that point. You guys got Netflix now, right? They got the internet in Alaska?
Still don't seem like you would need that, but okay. FX has Captain America, the First Avenger tonight.
Captain America's
a movie that I'm not necessarily proud that I haven't seen. FXM tonight, Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues, 6:45. I never saw it.
It's awful.
That's why I never saw
it. It's awful.
And the first one was so good. I said, you know what, I'm not going to ruin this by going and seeing that.
I knew it was going to be bad. Mrs. Arky wanted to see it, and I said, okay, this is going to be bad. She said, that's okay. I said, no, it's not. It's going to be really bad. And they watched it. It was worse than as bad as we thought it was going to be.
Mm.
It was gross.
Not good. Game of the Night.
Cube Show Game of the Night.
Whistle. Yanks and Sox tonight, Arky.
Yeah, it got rained out yesterday, so
ESPN,
finally
6
get the
PM
start
tonight,
of the
Yankees Red Sox.
Best series ever. More importantly, at 5:55 on the ump, it's Braves taking on Mets.
Hey, ESPNU tonight, college football playoff national championship, Clemson versus Alabama.
What year?
Let's see, 2015.
Okay, we'll like that one. We will like how that ends. Technically, that's 2015. I hate when they do this. I think college football should end on December 31st.
I would agree. NBC Sports Network, 7 p.m. tonight. Stanley Cup playoff game one.
Yeah, it's a new series.
Predators at Blues.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. Oh, Cole, it's crazy.
I feel like it's crazy.
The Predators shouldn't be here. The Blues are a better team. The Predators are, I think, slight favorites in this one. If you were to talk to Vegas, we'll talk to Vegas Runner tomorrow about it. Maybe we won't get too much into it, but we'll talk to him maybe about that. But
I don't think he's going to.
It's going to be great, Cole.
Talking about that with him, but we can try. And then 9:30 NBC Sports Network Stanley Cup Playoff Game 1, Oilers at Ducks.
Quack, quack.
See if Willie Taggart can get that thing rolling up there.
Aw, Cole, you know it's not about them.
What?
It's not about them. It's not about the Oregon Ducks.
We always want to see NFL and college football. We got Houston Oilers and Oregon Ducks.
Wouldn't that be something?
It would be great. All right,
another one.
Let's get to another
one. Cole, I have another one real quick. I want to mention this. It's Cade Hedden. Who is a Huntsville Crimson Panther. He's been a part of the Huntsville High Baseball program for a while. And last night, the Huntsville baseball team showed their appreciation to him by letting him pinch run in the second inning. Now, what's important about this is Hedden, who has a brain injury since a car wreck at the age of 2, is unable to communicate orally anymore. So he basically texts his friends and his buddies often. And that's how he communicates. Well, during the second inning of last night's senior night game against James Clemens, he came on to pinch hit and stole second base. He stole second base, and it was really cool to see him come out there. His friends, including senior John Back, were mobbing him when they came off the field. So it was very cool to see Caden Hedden, who they named a corner of part of the stadium after him, part of the field for him. So very cool.
Very cool
to
moment.
See that.
Another one for me.
Another one.
Looks like Marshawn is done to the Raiders. They're trying to get this done before the draft. Supposed to be in the Raiders facility today to have a physical. 2-year deal with the Raiders pending a physical, which is expected to happen today. That's via Adam Schefter. Marshawn Lynch to the Raiders.
2 years?
If he's got another year left in him, this year could be a big year for Oaktown.
Oak City, what other great running back are they going to get?
What if a team – what's the most successful a team has ever been the year or two before they moved? Any league.
Oh, geez.
Weren't the Expos in the playoffs before they bailed? There's some good teams. Pedro Martinez, Randy Johnson, and guys. We're back tomorrow, 6 to 10, Roundtable next.